It's been said that better questions lead us naturally to better answers, and that it's in not knowing that we open the doorway to knowing. I'm Scott Lennox, and you're listening to The Beautiful Question, a consideration of things that truly matter in a complex world. What will happen when you stop holding back and allow the world to see and engage with the person you really are? Not the invented story you've been telling yourself, or the one someone else constructed for you, but the real and luminous you, the authentic you. Join me this week as we consider what it means to be authentic and what happens when we think and act from that place. Stay with me. The moment we acknowledge and accept that what makes us extraordinary is built into each of us, the way we live begins to change for the better in a variety of ways. One of them is that we naturally relax. Another is that we become the person we've always been without apology or holding back or pretending to be something we're not. Isn't it good to know that we don't have to struggle to make that happen? And it's not about trying hard or jumping through hoops. And it's not about some kind of magic or some mystical secret that will suddenly attract wealth or success or fame or a loving relationship to us. I fully understand the principle of attraction, that which is like itself is drawn. But this is about something far deeper, something more fundamental than that. It's about being authentic. But to avoid confusion, what does the word authentic really mean? This past week, someone whose opinion I respect said, "You know, you use that word a lot, but do people really understand what you mean when you say it?" It was a beautiful question I really needed to hear, especially since I'm so particular about language. So to clarify, let's take a better look. When I consider definitions for authentic, two of the first things that come to mind are real and genuine. For example, when I finish a drawing or an oil painting or a watercolor, I sign it so there's no question that the work is genuine. Because I created it, I'm willing to put my name on it for all the world to see. Yet, what do words like real or genuine mean when we're not talking about objects, but about human beings and how we go about living our lives? What does it mean for a person to be real? What does it mean to think or communicate or act in ways that are genuine? I also think of the word integrity, where the inside and the outside match. And the word sincere, meaning that something or someone is exactly as you see it, unvarnished, unaltered, and in plain sight. If someone asks, "How are you doing?" we often respond with some version of "fine." But does that answer reflect what's real for us? Or is it a kind of mask that says, "Don't come any closer. I don't want you to see all of me right now." When someone asks, "What do you think?" do we give ourselves complete permission to speak what's really on our mind? Or do we alter or measure our answer to fit the person or the situation? And the truth is, most of us are constantly editing our responses, presenting what we want others to hear or see about us. When we stop to think about it, that's a subtle form of lying. At the very least, we're masking or half-stepping the truth. On the other hand, what would happen if you took full ownership of yourself, your vulnerability and your strengths, your darkest fears and your boldest opinions, your deficits and your gifts, your truest self, and responded to life and the people around you from that authentic place? I don't know how many people have told me in my work as a counselor and consultant that I changed or saved their lives. My answer is always the same. No, I didn't. You saved your own life when you chose to accept and own it, when you decided to think and feel and act in ways that are resonant and consistent with what's true inside you, and when you stopped deferring to the rest of the world to tell you who you are or what to believe or how to best live your life. How many people have I seen turn their lives around by making that elegant and life-altering shift? It fascinates me that some of them believed that they were stuck and that lasting change was impossible. Some had even been diagnosed by one profession or another as intransigently depressed. There's an unfortunate clinical term for you. Yet, when they made the decision to live their own lives from the inside out, and then followed that decision with healthy actions, things got remarkably better, often with surprising speed. It's one of the reasons I continue to do the work I do. Ask yourself what could possibly be more compelling or attractive or liberating about a person than the relaxed confidence that naturally arises from knowing themselves so well that they live from one moment to the next without pretending or editing or holding back. Years ago, I had the good fortune to spend several minutes talking with the late Oscar de la Renta while he was here in Fort Worth. He took one look at me, pointed his finger, and said, "Photographer," at which point he put his things down and asked me about my life and the work I was doing at the time. The people with him were tapping their watches and trying to keep him on schedule, but he would have none of it. It struck me that although he was very busy, he was fully with me as we talked. He had no other agenda in those few moments than the relaxed conversation we were having. After all this time, his way of being fully present stays in my memory and motivates me to do the same. As I thought about it later, it became clear to me that Señor de la Renta was not happy because he was amazingly successful. He was successful because he knew exactly who he was and was content with himself as a human being. He wasn't present with me or anyone else because he was famous. He became famous because he had the ability to be fully in the moment, fully present with himself, with what he was doing, and with those around him. His noticeable luminosity had nothing to do with what was on the outside, or how he dressed, or how he lived, or how wealthy he was. The magic was that he allowed himself to be genuine, to be exactly who and what he was, which is something that's alive in each of us. When I first read the definition of compassion offered by Jon Kabat-Zinn, I thought of de la Renta. Zinn's definition of compassion is cultivating the quality of presence. Right there is the heart of authenticity, the heart of being genuine and real, the heart of being fully and vitally human. To rephrase it, it's about continually practicing and developing our built-in ability to be in the here and now with less and less distraction. So with that in mind, I invite you to consider this week's three beautiful questions. Question 1. What changes in you each time you allow yourself to be fully in the here and now? Each time you allow yourself to be fully present? I'll ask it again. What changes in you each time you allow yourself to be fully in the here and now? Each time you allow yourself to be fully present? Question 2. If this kind of presence has been missing in your life for a while, what simple and consistent shifts in your thinking and behavior might help you bring it back? Asking that another way, if you haven't been present for a while, what might you change in how you think and how you behave to bring that presence back? And finally, question 3. In what specific ways might you slow down and engage with yourself as openly and authentically as you would engage with someone you love or care about? Once again, in what specific ways might you slow yourself down and engage with yourself as openly and as authentically as you would with someone you love or care about? If you've ever wondered about the state in which so-called awakened or enlightened beings live, there it is. As you bring that kind of presence, that kind of authenticity back to your life, write and tell me. I'll be fascinated to hear about it. As I say each week, my light with your light. Thank you once again for joining me in these podcasts as we awaken to living in better and more effective ways. My sincerest hope is for each of us to live better lives and create better possibilities for ourselves, for one another, for the world, and for our beautiful planet home. As always, I'm open to your comments and feedback. You can be further inspired by visiting my friends at Cosmos Journal. That's K-O-S-M-O-S Journal. Their mission is to inform, inspire, and engage global transformation in harmony with all life. You can easily find them online at cosmosjournal.org. And at thebeautifulquestion.com, you can now read the transcript of each podcast as you listen. You'll find an archive of all of the podcasts, including several guided relaxation audios that can help you practice letting go on a daily basis. Take a look at episodes number 3 and 4. And soon there'll be links to other offerings to challenge and inspire you. As always, if you find these podcasts useful, don't hesitate to share them or tell others about them. That's a great way of helping me get a voice of calm and collaboration and balance and encouragement out into the world. I'm Scott Lennox, and this has been The Beautiful Question. The Beautiful Question is a One Light production, written, produced, and engineered by Scott Lennox at Heart Rock Studios in Fort Worth, Texas, as a way of paying forward to life, being fully present, becoming better engaged with things that truly matter in a complex world, and committing to a healthier future for all of us.